Und jetzt Vollgas über den Gaumen. Das schmeckt so gut. Und noch ein bisschen mehr. Und?
Moment mal. Hier steht 100% ohne künstliche Zusätze. Nur mit natürlichen Zutaten.
Frosta Butter Chicken mit jeder Menge Bäm. Ohne Bäh. Das ist das Frosta Reinheitsgebot. 100% ohne Zusätze. Schon seit 2003.
Right now, the Luxor Casino in Las Vegas looks like an enormous Dorito. And as a podcast obsessed with pyramids and the need to build more of them,
sure.
And Doritos. I feel like that's important news.
Let's do a little look-see to see. So for readers who aren't familiar, the Luxor is the official media hotel of the Super Bowl this year. Those spots are now full, and hungry media who must cover the greatest game in football must now stay at Excalibur. And I'm going to take a look and see what a room at the Luxor is going for Super Bowl weekend right now.
$79.
So okay,
it's a good bid.
For anyone who hasn't familiarized themselves with this facility, what is it that makes it so bad?
Are you guys familiar with the term smoked glass?
No, I'm actually not.
Okay,
it sounds delicious.
It's a term. Yeah, it can be. It's a term that's used in decorating, in glassware. Like if you were to go into like a restaurant supply store and say, I'm looking for, you know, some smoked glass, you would end up with cups that are like clear, but they're charcoal gray, right? Mm-hmm. You've seen these, like these, mm-hmm. you know, kind of darker colored bar glasses, you know, the color of smoke. In the case of the Luxor, it's an entire pyramid built on the Las Vegas Strip out of smoked glass, only you get the distinct sense through several of your human senses that the smoke was acquired organically. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is... I can't really describe, and it doesn't. It's not a light that invokes. As I haven't been to Egypt. I've never been to Egypt, but I have seen the documentary, the Brendan Fraser documentary, The Mummy.
Yeah,
and I don't believe what they call light inside the Luxor invokes ancient Egypt so much as it invokes like your. In the Hitman video game, and you're way down the hall from the door of a lit bathroom that has just opened. Only it's like that everywhere, and you never get closer to the light. It's genuinely unsettling.
Turns out, building a pyramid is terrible for air circulation and for letting light into the interior of a building.
As this a psychological experiment, it's really something.
Great for putting a dead rich Egyptian in many, many, many millennia ago. Very, very bad for putting people in. Also, here's another thing about the Luxor.
Wait, I never thought about that. They never put live people in buildings. That's why
sometimes they did.
They did,
but not in a position to say go on Yelp.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't
and
like
say, hey, this is fucked up air circulation.
You couldn't advertise. Like, I get the appeal of the Excalibur because it's like, come live like a king. When they were alive.
Come die like a king.
It's not the Luxor's like, come stay where the king went when he was dead.
Come survive the death of the king, who is you.
Reader, just to put
I'm
you
not
on a
sold
scale.
Against this place.
Oof.
Okay.
Reader, just to put you on a scale of what Spencer thinks is acceptable Vegas lodging, the first time we ever had an EDSBS trip to Vegas, he said of the now demolished Imperial Palace, and I quote, you're going to love this place. It smells like dead bodies. And also found the unremodeled circus, whose primary decorating motif was poorly taxidermied raccoons, a fun place to spend an evening. Luxor is too much for him.
Luxor is a bit much for me.
That's where we're at.
Yeah.
And it's the smelliness and the odd geometry and the trick of the light. Is there?
There's another thing. There's one more thing about the Luxor that you have to tell people.
Besides the giant Dorito.
Yes,
and the NFL media.
Oh, and the inclinators.
And the inclinators, which are these elevators that go up the inside at like the 45-degree angle, which are mind-bending. But the call of the void is very, very real inside the Luxor to the extent that
by the way, no matter where you're going up in the elevator, you're always hanging out over space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With Mike Florio.
and you're drunk.
With my yes.
Peter
you're already
there.
Mike Florio leaning in the elevator with you, rambling about analytics.
Oh, you're already thinking about ending it all, right? You're already like, what has led me to this? And then you get out, and it's inevitable because imagine the shape of the pyramid. All the balconies lean over the other. So you're just staring into empty space. So if you were already thinking about it, hanging out with Mike Florio, the geometries themselves are kind of pointing you downward.
Hmm. I think the other reason, and I'm psychoanalyzing a little bit, that Spencer probably feels this way about the Luxor is, to me, the Luxor is quintessentially 1990s. Like, that's when it was built. That's when it was billed as a big thing. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. It has appeared in Showgirls, released 1995, Mars Attacks, released 1996, the music video for Gettin' Jiggy With It, 1998.
Wow.
Like,
right.
This is just a, it's just an aggressively 90s place. And obviously lots of Las Vegas is about go back to a different time. But very rarely is that time supposed to be the 1990s. I know that's in vogue right now in some ways, but I don't think anyone actually wants to live in the 1990s again.
You certainly don't want it to smell like them.
Not yeah. that authentically 1990s.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, a number of people, once I expressed my opinions about the Luxor, began sharing, and I found an extraordinary one. If you don't know, the Luxor is, or at least was for a long time, the home casino for Chris Angel. That's correct. The mind freak himself.
R.I.P.
Magician.
Couldn't get out of that one, could he?
Yeah, he'll be back later this afternoon.
Hey, quick question. How old do you think Chris Angel is?
57.
Is he older than David Cutcliffe?
I'm gonna give him a steady 62.
49.
Jason was closest, although Holly won Price is Right rules. He's 56 years old.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's almost as old as me.
Easy.
I like how we've click trained him into doing it to himself now.
We just beat it to it. We get it over with. It's done.
And he doesn't have to hear it.
Great job, right. Ryan.
So this is the home casino of Chris Angel, aka the Mind Freak.
Stupidest description of a building I've ever
heard.
Wait,
hold on. Can we talk about the beam as well? Because that was the other thing that was like a big deal, was that it at night it shoots up this beam of light known as the Luxor Sky Beam.
And the Sky Beam.
These are two very useful pieces of sentence from Wikipedia. Moths are also attracted to the light. This in turn attracts bats and owls.
I thought you said moms.
I thought you said mods.
Moms.
My other wine is the sky beam.
Unleash the MILF beam.
That's pretty 90s too.
Dude, that's so sick. I'm a good Luxor. Wait by the MILF beam for my dream
just
lady.
Stand next to it and hope for some runoff.
That's why it's Chris Angel's home casino.
Well, Deb, I was wondering where we were going to hang tonight, but they lit the MILF beam. We got to go.
More sexy mothers for my experiments. Don't you mean tricks? No, go away. I'm Chris Angel.
Chris Angel, MILF freak.
Can you levitate? Oh, we'll levitate, baby.
We won't.
Below the MILF beam.
So... Is the Doritos thing new, or is that
the Doritos thing?
That is a promotional thing, I think, for the Super Bowl.
Okay,
so the Doritos thing is, believe it or not, a cosmetic upgrade.
So yeah. Is this a reaction to the orb? The orb always has pictures on it, so now they're putting pictures on this thing too.
Maybe. Yeah,
If these were objects, you'd have to say that they're in conversation with one another.
maybe all of Las Vegas is going to be turned into virtual reality, whether you want it to be or not.
They're learning. They're adapting.
They're learning. Yeah. I love this too, because there's a picture that you can see of the Luxor as the Super Bowl hotel, which is admittedly, it's like reasonably close to the stadium. That's most likely the reason that they're using it, in addition to it being very cheap and the NFL wanting its journalists to die of black lung.
It might. I mean, the NFL probably does want that.
Yeah. I had people who, when I tweeted about this and shared it on other social media platforms, go, well, it is the closest hotel. Even though the Delano is closer, it's in the fucking photo. It's right there. They're like, yeah, it was closer. That's why they did it.
It's the closest hotel. With a badass shape.
It's the closest it's the closest endorsed by Doritos, the official Dorito of the NFL.
Fucking football stadium. You can't stay somewhere normal.
The NFL's force field is so powerful it has distorted the very eyes of people loyal to the Shield. The thing I wanted to discuss was somebody who decided to share a story about when they were there and had an encounter with Chris Angel. This is from at Timmer517. Tim, I want to say in advance, I love you, dude. I love you. I got so drunk at the Luxor about 7 or 8 years ago and couldn't find my room. And I almost started crying like a little kid. Crying laughing emoji. And I kid you not, out of nowhere came that Chris Angel dude with two big bodyguards. And I could hardly talk, but he looked at my room number and got me there.
All right. But he teleported you, I assume.
You're like you're trauma drunk at that point. Like you're just tragic smash drunk at that point. And you look up and the mind freak himself shirtless and in a leather jacket and pants is in front of you.
What if Chris
with two Angel linebackers is like, behind him?
What if he's really an angel?
What if Chris Angel is what if he's like a fallen angel bound to the limits of the Luxor?
Yeah.
He can't leave.
I'm getting like he's Constantine and John Wick at the same time.
Yeah, like
that's why
only
he sends
the
up the milf beam.
Only the Luxor shields him from God's sight, and he uses the milf beam to blind God every night.
To blind God with milfs.
I'm lonely. Blind God and some of the milfs.
Blind God.
Also have the kitchen send up
for
a hummus plate.
For the Super Bowl.
The pita was dry.
Ryan, the backup hotel is now the Excalibur.
Yes.
What's that one like?
The King Arthur themed.
Yeah. Oh, that one?
Yeah.
So do people stay there?
I've stayed there. The water pressure is incredible. And they have mini lanes of skee ball in the basement.
Medieval skee ball?
No, just like skee ball. As a college student, it's a great value. I haven't stayed there since I was barely not a college student, but
it's the place designed for the Living King. It is also a 90s casino, believe it or not, like barely. It was built in 1990, but it's the backup.
This was in like people had Lady Hawk fever.
But that's what it was. It was 100%.
They have also remodeled it in recent years to where they've Beef O'Brady's it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the more overtly medieval elements have been swept away, tragically. Like, I don't really know what possessed the people in Las Vegas not possessing of like the Paris and the Venetian to think that we don't want themed hotels anymore. What gave you that idea? Stop it.
It's probably because the West has fallen. Are there return guys to put back the medievalness?
It's like return, but the return is the leg on the flamingo.
Yeah.
The little V. Yeah.
Yeah.
We need more. I think we need more themed casinos, and we do need them in like return theme. Right.
I think they should be mandatory.
Yeah.
There should be like roller derby names. There should be a registry, and you can't use the same one twice.
Well, what themes have we not used at this point?
Fish camp.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Unless you can't wait. Does Bass Pro Shops have a casino in it? And if not, why not?
I don't think it is. Hmm. It does.
The Bass Pro Shops casino would kill.
We have a
Bass Pro Shop attached to a casino, but it's not the same thing.
We have a pyramid casino. We don't have a ziggurat, like a Code of Hammurabi.
Sure.
And
there's lots of pyramids from all around the world. Everyone always goes Egyptian. Like, what about the many other cultures?
Have a Mayan casino.
Sure.
They love gold.
Yeah.
Aztecs love gold.
A few days ago on Twitter, I floated the concept of upgrading a Waffle House into a Waffle Hotel, Monopoly style. And someone, some genius, then added on that it should be a Waffle Hotel and casino.
Ooh.
Would go. Waffle House casino would go. Theme-wise, Journey to the Center of the Earth. I think magma themed could be pretty good.
Yeah.
Are you talking to the mole people casino?
Yeah. Is it really hot in there?
It's super hot. No AC at all.
Hollow Earth casino where you discover that the moles all smoke 2 packs a day.
Each room's thermostat, you're just punching it. It won't go below 150.
Honestly, at this point in time, we might as well do like a conspiracy casino. Be like, this is the, here's, come see the soundstage where we fake the moon landing. Here's JFK. He's alive. Like,
the
just Q-stino. Do all of it. Yeah.
the Cusino.
Cusino, are you telling me Cusino wouldn't do huge numbers? It absolutely
That's also, and that's also very 90s where you could just name things like Q or Z or X.
Yep. Yep. I'd like a Reba McEntire Casino.
Hot damn, yeah. Can we talk about the Rebasance?
Is there a Rebasance? I didn't know this was
have you looked up, sorry, go ahead, Ryan, I will let you discover this on air. Go look up the musical acts for this year's Super Bowl.
So, like, not the halftime show, but
she's musical doing, acts for this year's Super Bowl.
Let's see. Usher is doing the halftime show. That
we knew that because everyone's there's a national shortage of birth control.
Reba is doing the national anthem.
Hey,
which is great. And Post Malone will do some. Post Malone's going to sing America Post Malone the Beautiful.
What a roller.
Thank you for getting that out before I could speculate whether Post Malone was doing Lift Every Voice and Sing.
No, that's 100 Day. And Tiesto is here as well for some. Oh, Tiesto.
Chesto.
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 Chesto. Chesto. Chesto.
There's also an in-house DJ. Do I have that right?
That's his job.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Oh, man. That should have been Chris Angel.
College football has in-house DJs. Y'all aren't special.
Chesto.
Yeah, and the NFL always takes ideas from college football like 15 years later.
Mm.
What if we didn't pay the players? Guys, profits.
Oh, man.
Thought about that?
Welcome to NFL University.
I get all the good players. Their standards are so low.
What we'll do is we'll make donors pay our players salaries. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. I went to Panthers Tech.
That's a terrible school.
Terrible school.
Didn't learn a goddamn thing.
Here is a good review of the Excalibur, by the way. 2 stars on TripAdvisor. It's Excalibur. What do you expect? The casino is not great. It is a place to sleep. However, even the rooms seem to lack amenities I've come to expect at other locations.
This feels like a Wesley Willis review.
It will. There are casinos. Listen, if there's a casino that will take your face off, it's the Luxor.
The Shutdown Full Cast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hull. I am joined, as always, by Ryan Nanny, Jason Kirk, Holly Anderson, and on the ones and twos, Michael Serber. Welcome, all. How we doing?
I have a hot take that I've been percolating on, and I don't know that I'm ready to run with it. But I want
start walking.
I want to feel start walking here a little bit.
Yeah,
let's get a montage, training montage. Go.
If Jim Harbaugh wins a Super Bowl with the Chargers, it is the most impressive thing he will have done in his coaching career.
I think that winning a national title whilst being benched for 6 games is more impressive.
Okay.
I will concede that this does change the game of the Easter dinner that we theorize. It's coming up, Shea Harbaugh, because now Jim is going to be sitting next to John, like, hey John, how many teams did you have to beat to win your national title? I beat 132. Oh, you didn't win your national title? Did you know that 132 is more than 31, in my opinion? And this also may change who stabs who first with the ham fork, but not who gets stabbed first. It's going to be Tom Crean, no matter what.
Ow!
He is the collateral damage.
Ryan, how many years is that until that Super Bowl win? Like, what time frame are you going with?
I don't know that it matters. I think any on any timeline, like, the Chargers are such a...
So you're saying, like, overcoming Chargers-ness would be more impressive than winning with the Ravens?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Then like, I think right now... Because, look, winning a title with Michigan, obviously impressive, but I think the knock on Michigan for a long time was this is a program that should win a national title, should contend for a national title. It's not the same thing as, like, what Gary Patterson did with TCU, for example, where you're like, wow, really took a program that had been languishing for a long time. I know Dennis Franchione did it, like, started that process, but we don't have to acknowledge that here. Like, the Chargers are not meant for good things. You are not just fighting the other teams in the NFL. You are fighting football fate itself. Nothing good has happened to the Chargers.
Yeah, ever.
Right.
So, like, with Michigan, you're taking literally the winningest program of all time.
Yes.
And you are getting them to lose one or two fewer games per year.
Yes.
That's great.
It's still impressive. It's not impressive.
It's awesome, yeah. But it's not on par with accomplishing something at the end of the season. Like, right. Mind you, the Chargers are awesome at going, like, 14-2, and then nothing mm-hmm. happens. They don't even arrive at the playoffs somehow. They get lost.
They're just, like, never showed.
But, like, I also think the roster he's inheriting, a lot of people are like, oh, it's got all the pieces. It's got, like, a quarterback. That's great. Yeah,
it's got some old dudes.
Yeah, it's not an awesome roster. It's good. I get why it was his choice, but...
You're in Patrick Mahomes' division. Yeah. Like, there's a lot... Yeah, I don't know. I think if you can win a Super Bowl with the Chargers, who, again, are uniquely cursed... Like, the Chargers and the Rams both moved to L.A., and the Rams were like, oh, we'll just win a Super Bowl. Not a big deal. Not a problem at all. The Chargers got to suffer, like, an incredibly brutal collapse of the fucking Jaguars.
He's got to do it. He's got to do it in, like, 3 or 4 years, though. Because when he walks into
that building... He'll go insane, otherwise?
Wait, no, they'll go insane living with him. Because they'll walk into that building and be like, who got it better than us? And they're like, yeah. Many people.
Everyone.
Several teams.
All the
many,
time.
Many franchises.
My patient needed coach.
Yeah.
Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah. Just need a little bit of a better attitude around here. I need a better contract. That's a thing. That's a thing that can happen there.
Like the Chargers have spent so long being good enough to, like, get in the playoffs or get close to the playoffs and then just do absolutely nothing. And even the year they went to the Super Bowl.
Oh God.
Just got absolutely pasted.
Yeah,
and it's, like, not like they haven't had, like, they've had Junior Seau, they've had LaDainian Tomlinson, they've had, like, all kinds of great talent, and it still just sucks.
When, like, a college player I like goes to the Chargers, it's a lot like when an NBA player goes to play overseas. I'm like, oh, well, y'all have fun. Hope you figure out your taxes. It's been good. Like, if you play for the Chargers, you're essentially playing in a foreign country to me. I know. You're in Los Angeles. That's something, like, I know, and that Jim Harbaugh evidently messed up several times.
They're the one team that, like, it is very hard to remember where they are now. Like, mm-hmm. the Raiders move, and the next day I'm like, sure, the Vegas Raiders, right? Like, the A's, okay, yeah, whatever, Vegas A's. It feels natural. The Chargers, multiple times per year, I'm like, San Diego Chargers. I think I wrote it in something that published last year. Like, it's impossible mm-hmm. to remember where this team is.
It feels wrong. Like, the Rams at least had been in LA at one point, so you could sort of, like, pull back from memory there. But, like, it feels wrong that they are the LA Chargers.
I also find it incredibly hard to believe, again, because he's just like us, that Jim Harbaugh did not make it through multiple rounds of interviews with the San Diego Chargers. That's right. Without calling them the San Diego Chargers at least twice.
He probably did.
They don't care. Like, they didn't care.
No, I don't think they do, because if they're going after Harbaugh, you have to know. I mean, I assume they know. This is not a new ownership group.
If anything, if nothing, I think that will make him seem more authentic to Chargers fans. Mm-hmm.
So because relatable. They're like, you know what? Our fans all say the same thing. Come on in.
It's so relatable how he doesn't know where we play.
Oh, they're still the San Diego Chargers. They just commute. They shouldn't have changed anything.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
If nobody was going to change the name. But they're going to get, like, they will get properly sick of him. He's got, like, 3 or 4 years to do it. And if he doesn't do it, he's just going to be another annoying guy who gets fired.
All right, listen, but we'll always have, no matter what, last year's Vikings coaching head search as yes. being the last time we had to go through this.
That's it. He should interview for the Michigan job when he's with the Chargers.
Now, what's wrong with Sherrod Moore?
I'm just saying, if it doesn't work out in 3 or 4 years,
they should just switch.
Yeah, yeah. Just switch. Be like, I know the guy. I got the fellow for you.
When Sharon gets the Rams job.
That's right. There. Onward and upward. We'll be very optimistic about that.
My only regret is that we couldn't have the timeline where Jim Harbaugh got to coach the Philip Rivers Chargers. Because I feel like Jim Harbaugh and Philip Rivers. Two.
That's a lot of opinions.
Yeah, it's a lot. That's a lot of opinions. Give them a podcast that I don't want to listen to.
But I'll sell ads on it.
That's right.
Yeah. Imagine the carpool.
What do you think about having kids? I love it too.
Welcome to forced birth.
Yeah.
Like, do they even have to talk, or is it just an instant mind meld?
We are perfectly synced.
Airdrop! Airdrop all the time!
Airdrop terrible opinions like
they're
go.
Jaeger pilots.
They are. Just piloting the shittiest Jaeger in the NFL, the Chargers.
It's a Jaeger that's at March for Life.
It's a robot that's got drop foot.
Pacific Him.
How has nobody done Pacific Jim?
Oh, boy.
That's sword. Mm-hmm.
Sword. Okay, mm-hmm. What would Jim Harbaugh's version of sword be, though? It's got to be one syllable.
Football!
It's got to be one syllable, which is tricky.
Just say football is one syllable.
Forge.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, I don't know if I believe it, but right now I'm in.
Launch.
Jim Harbaugh wins a Super Bowl with the Chargers, it is his greatest accomplishment.
Yeah, if he overcomes Chargersness. Because, like,
yes,
Michigan fans had the whole we're a curse thing. You know nothing.
Yeah, like, the night, like, I think you know nothing
of madness.
The other competitor is probably what he did at Stanford, but
I think technically doing what he did at Stanford is more impressive as far as actual on-field accomplishments, because like if you're the type of dork who doesn't believe that like vibes are real, you know,
yeah
like once you factor in the vibes, there is nothing that could top winning with the Chargers.
Yes, I think that's right.
That's true. But in terms of actual like facts, if you're interested in those, the Stanford thing is still way more shocking because it was so bizarre to look over and go, Stanford is absolutely beating the shit out of them.
Right.
That was a program that could kind of hiccup to, you know, 7 or 8 wins every now and then. They could field some good teams. But at no point did they ever field a team like Harbaugh's, where those Harbaugh teams, you're like, oh my God, they are mashing those dudes out. Mm-hmm. They ran for 250 against them. They beat them by 20.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, also, if this is your source for news, Jim Harbaugh took the Chargers job.
Yeah. Sharon Moore is now the head coach at Michigan.
There's a lot of news that we ourselves missed over bowl season. Do we want to like try and catch up on that now, or do we want to wait until all the slots are filled?
Let's do the bad one first, just to get it out of the way.
Let's get the bad one out of the way. Mm. DJ Durkin is now the defensive coordinator at Auburn.
Cultural fit for Hugh, that is, not for Auburn's players and many fine fans.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a podcast, so this is where you can say all of the things that you might not be able to just, like, you know, short form.
This is where we go back to the failure state episode and just tap the sign. There's not even a shitty reason to do this.
Yeah.
There's not even a business reason to do this.
Yeah. It's not like you're taking a guy off the scrap heap who was so brilliant at his job that his negligence and or cowardice and or general shittiness would be worth this kind of pick. He's mid. He's been
citation
mediocre.
Spencer?
Yeah.
I thought he was cleared in court of all wrongdoing.
Yeah, like here's the thing. The Jordan McNair thing's a legit tragedy. The entire event is. Just read the report, and you just see this like slow motion, horrible, bad thing that should not have happened, and that was attributed largely to the delay of the training staff in administering some of the stuff, particularly a cooling tub, which should have been available, and it was standard protocol. But because they had moved practice, it wasn't there, and we're getting into the weeds. But generally, like
we're getting into the weeds, but like more, not more to the point, because not to skip over the actual event. But what happened after that? Because that's the part that I feel like people forget.
So, a curious thing has happened after that, and it's that DJ Durkin was fired, by the University of Maryland.
Not immediately, and not without.
Wasn't it like within 12 hours of being reinstated?
Yes. The university tried very hard to not fire DJ Durkin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which, thanks.
DJ Durkin was largely fired for being very bad at his job. That was what he was fired for, right? He was fired because he handled the Jordan McNair situation badly. I think he chose a kind of legal inertia as his standpoint. And by inertia, I just mean being inert. He chose that over sort of actively engaging with a lot of the factors involved in it, including the family, who, by the way, the family still attend Maryland games. The McNair family still attends Maryland games. They're still part of the program. They've talked with Mike Loxley.
Which, first of all, good on Mike Loxley, which is something I don't think we've ever said on this program.
Keeping them around the program, bringing them back into the program. Mm-hmm. The McNairs have forgiven, like formally forgiven in the public eye after 3 years, the trainers involved in the incident. They've done that. Like that is done. That is legislated between the people I think who are most important here. And I say that in matter of not only just most important in terms of central to the story, I mean in terms of displayed, I think, the greatest mettle and the greatest kind of charity towards and like depth of character. That's like the McNairs and the people who are closest to Jordan McNair's death. They've all really acquitted themselves well in the
post. So why are we still mad at what's his name, Spencer? That doesn't seem right.
Because he was negligent, bad at his job. If you read any of the Washington Post reporting on the culture at Maryland, it was this like absolute freak show of a program where they were watching videos of wild animals attacking and eating each other in the dining hall, where players were called pussies, and where
an exit or representing. Go listen to what his former players have to say about him.
Yeah,
and then ask if you want your brother, son, cousin, friend playing for somebody like that, which if you're Hugh, I imagine you have no problem with.
That's the thing, is like he's not that great at his job on top of
this isn't Urban, right? You can't even make a nihilistic case for hiring this guy for football reasons. There aren't good football reasons for it.
Even 2024 Urban.
Yeah.
Which is just because you want to.
Yeah. You just wanted to. You just thought this was the move, and you did it, regardless of any of the complications down the road.
You also, and I don't think any of them have earned a good faith hall pass here. You also love the reaction that it's going to get. You love that we're talking about this right now. Like, you love putting a thumb in the eye of people who tried and failed to hold you accountable. And who tried and failed to hold your buddy accountable. You get off on it to a degree if you're Hugh and if you're DJ. And in some ways, the situation is so poisonous that it flows not only downstream, but upstream. And it even taints the opinion of guys who everybody you know speaks very highly of, but who stridently defended you during this case. Hey, Will Muschamp, what's up?
I think part of it is part of Hugh Freeze's career arc and brand as someone who views and sells redemption as getting a better job. That has worked very well for him. So for him to then, quote unquote, pay it forward to someone else, well, he's just spreading that redemption and spreading that forgiveness. No, you're hiring some asshole because you're an asshole. But the story that Hugh is telling is one of paying it forward. And
he's paying something forward. He's not wrong there.
Indeed, paying something forward. Like, is it authentic atonement and redemption? No, of course not.
No, but he gets to feel. He gets to feel superior for one more second, for one more reason, to people who dared say, hey, what the fuck? And that is what matters. That is ultimately all that matters to these people.
You could have hired a younger assistant on the come up. You could have hired a young black coach. Didn't do that. There's plenty of them around. Plenty of them underrepresented still in terms of the management class of college football. But you didn't do that. You went for a retread with a horrendous lacuna, gap, hole in his resume. Where when you look at
it... Hey, whose staff was he on last year?
Yeah, he was on Jimbo's.
How about the year before that?
Oh, he was also on Lane Kiffin's.
Yeah, you guys are terrific. Love all y'all.
It's also confusing given who they hired as their OC because, oh, that's the other thing. Auburn after 1 year is switching both coordinators. Probably a sign that everything's going super
Everything's
well.
Great.
They brought in Derek Nix, who is black, who I believe this is his first OC job. I know he had like an associate head coach job with Ole Miss, but I don't think he was ever a formal coordinator. I think he was always a position coach.
And what are Hugh's plans for play calling this season?
There is that as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like at least with Derek Nix, you could be like, okay, this is somebody who has been part of a program that the side of the ball that he's coached, like, has done very well, has seen a lot of progress. You could make the case that, okay, this is a good way to sort of modernize what your team is doing. And then you go get DJ Durkin. So that's the bummer one. What are the other two that are not bummers that you wanted to talk about?
I just wanted to point out that in the churn of bowl season and trying to get through 40 for 40, we missed out on two long, long time presences in the EDSBS Extended Universe or the Shutdown Fullcast Extended Universe. Manny Diaz to Duke and Pistol Pete Limbo resurfacing at Buffalo. Hello, gents.
We should mention the Buffalo job came open because
Maurice Linguist.
He's taking an assistant role with Bama. Which
is wild because not wild, but interesting because Pete Lembo's, who has been an associate head coach and a special teams guy for a couple years, most recently in the SEC at South Carolina, whose prior, not claim to fame, but was notable for leaving. This was a lot more uncommon a few years ago, I guess, before the resource disparity in college football became quite this pronounced, but left Ball State to take a coordinator job at Maryland. Mm.
This is the MAC 2 coordinator pipeline.
Yeah. Anyway, I love this for Manny, though, also. He has been the recipient of more unfair shots than, like, any two or three other coaches I can think of in various settings. I'm interested to see what he does with what is really an uphill gig, albeit one that was done very well recently by Elko.
One starting in decent shape, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one starting in good shape and one where I don't think that job's overburdened with expectations yet. I think the bar has been raised, but it's still not. It's still pretty manageable.
It's going to take a while to get expectations there.
I would actively. I would be the biggest men's basketball fan at Duke. Like I would be so like, hey, you should go pay attention to them. Now, do I want them to be successful? No, I would prefer if the basketball program were completely on fire. If I were Duke's football coach,
without looking, Spencer, what did Duke go last year? What was their record?
Basketball?
No, football.
Football. Weren't they? God, were they 6-6 or 6-7?
8-5.
8-5. Okay. Yeah. See, what? That's testimony, right? Let's just go ahead and hang it.
I think Spencer's saying he's so focused on Duke basketball that.
Yeah.
Ah.
That's right. Yeah. Stay so focused on Duke basketball that you don't notice anything I'm doing here on the football side. And when we go, you know, like 6-6, right? When we go 8-5 as they did last year, Ryan, which I knew. Mm-hmm. When you do that, people are like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I still think they're kind of in that good pocket where, like, if you can hit good Cutcliffe equilibrium there and just keep like a nice, low, steady level of success, like, that's a good, like, 5-10 job. You can keep that a while.
That's probably true. I think it is a little harder now because. The others most I no I think across the board without looking from when Cutcliffe took that job, it feels like the other schools in the state have gotten better.
Okay, I'm glad you said state because I was like, are you about to say the ACC's got it shit
just
together?
Specifically NC State and Wake Forest, and even UNC. Like UNC is still a disappointment in a lot of ways, but they are a better disappointment
UNC
than
is
they
the
were.
Same old shit as
who's coaching UNC this year?
Otherwise, the point stands.
Yeah.
And also, App State's here now.
Yes, App State is here, although they're not on Duke's schedule, so they got that going for
them. So we're coming up on the MAC. We're coming up and listen, this is Mac Brown's season. I don't want you guys to slander him.
Oh, yeah.
Why are you ruining him?
The next 6 months are going to be awesome for you.
Right. Why are you ruining prime Mac Brown? This is the point of the calendar where we are. It's Jim Nantz and Mac Brown standing astride our spring.
Mr. February himself.
Man, man, UNC plays JMU their fourth game of the season.
Don't get killed.
I don't think that's a great plan.
Somebody wants you to die.
That's a great plan. We got a lot of things cooking here at UNC. This is UNC football championship season. I don't want you turning it sour by mentioning
UNC's parade. UNC's home schedule in particular is full of like, God damn it, how did we lose that game? Charlotte. I don't believe in like Biff Pogey's Charlotte all the way, but like I'm willing to entertain it. North Carolina Central, who they should beat. JMU, Pitt, Georgia Tech. Wake Forest and NC State.
Did they just book straight chaos up and down?
It's not
That's
great.
What they did.
It's not great. Like this is
for invoking the ACC.
There are a lot of like a lot of these games. I can picture like sad Mac Brown in the rain at the end of.
You know, didn't we almost have it all?
That is one of those schedules where I look at it and go, they could win any of those games. And they could lose all of them.
They could
like,
lose
I don't...
all of them, yes.
they could lose all of them.
Yeah.
It's completely possible.
They should win all of those games. They will lose two of them in the ugliest fashion you've ever seen.
And one of them will be the NC State game. That just feels
if
like
it's on the CW, that goes without saying. It would be a mauling.
Yeah. Yeah,
man, like a completely piss and vinegar. Dave Doran is the funniest goddamn thing in the world to me, and I love it.
He's really gotten so much more interesting since we found out about his personal capacity for violence.
How did UNC dodge all the new guys in the ACC too? That's a shame. We really
that's Mac Brown magic. I'm telling you, this is the season when Mac's getting it done. Right now, we're laughing, we're having a good time. Mac's on his grind. He's at the country club. He's calling rich old folks. He's getting checks written. He's calling commissioners and being like, "You sure we need to play that game?"
He will get it done next season. Because next season is spring.
This is the year I hit the gritty.
Yeah, that's it. I got to go convince this quarterback. I'm never learning his name. He's got to come here. That's fine. This is when Mac is busy, y'all. Fall. Fall's when he takes time off.
You sound like Steve Spurrier.
Uh-huh.
This is like almost verbatim. Steve Spurrier said about
King of Spring. King of Spring, baby.
He was right.
I like this Spurrier won't back off that shit either. Be like, hey, you two are old. You're about to die. Shouldn't you make up? And he's like, fuck that guy.
Not too old to be right.
No, it's real. It's real John Adams, Thomas Jefferson.
Right, hold on. Writing that down. Not too old to be right. That guy's a loser. I do actually also have the other thing. San Diego State got Sean Lewis. San Diego State got Sean Lewis,
going from Punt World to Sean Lewis, like
going from Brick.
That's the biggest fun upgrade in possibly the history of college football.
Yeah, it's up there.
I thought when he took the Colorado gig, and I thought again with this one that he could have held out for more.
Possibly.
I don't think this one's that bad though, because
I think it's a great spot.
This like provides you enough opportunity where if you can. Like, San Diego State is a school where it's like, yeah, you can win 10 games. You can win 10, 11 games here. Other guys have done it. So you know it's on the table. And I think if you can do that, then you do put yourself – like, Sean Lewis is still young enough, and then we'll have shown, like, well, he's done this at two different stops. And, you know, like, I think that puts him in the mix for a number of interesting jobs at that point.
And I think, like, the teams they most immediately compete against, I would say they have the highest ceiling. Like, unless Oregon State also comes into their conference or whatever, and we want to say that. But
if I'm lining you up and you want to go, hey, listen, it's not my overall. I know I'm good, but it's not my absolute value that matters. It's the guy who came before me. Who's the guy who came before me? Who's that guy and how am I going to compare? I think he's good here. Y'all,
you get to
I think
be neighbors with
good.
Jim Harbaugh, who lives in San Diego now.
Hey!
Also, I should note, Holly, Pete Lembo is younger than Chris Angel, just so we have that on the record.
Oh. And more handsome.
He's younger than Spencer. Yeah.
Yes.
And better at magic.
Wow.
Hey, he won some games at Ball State. That's real sorcery, baby.
That's what I'm saying. Won a lot of games at Ball State.
Yeah. Pete Limbo back in the MAC, baby.
Also, South Carolina special teams last year had a lot going for it.
If you're wondering, yes, Duke does play at Miami in 2024. So,
oh boy,
that'll be fun.
Yeah, just so you can watch Miami fans be like, "Who's that guy?"
I think we all know how that one's gonna go.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I don't love it.
I'm
looking forward to it.
I actually think it's gonna go a different way. I think, and I'm gonna, I know we're reading the schedule here a little bit, but I'm gonna do it anyway. I think how that's gonna go. I want to make sure who they're playing next. Oh yeah, I feel great about this. I think they're going to, so that's after the Florida State game. I think Miami, let's say Miami loses to Florida State. Let's say it's yet another, like, ah, oh God, can't quite get over that hump. And then I think they just take it out on Duke. They're like, Duke is a team that has given them trouble in the past. They're going to hate playing Manny Diaz. Like, let's say Miami just destroys them and they're like, fuck yeah, the U is back. And then the next week they go to Georgia Tech and they lose. That's what's going to happen.
Okay, yeah.
That's how I see this.
I'm counting that as revenge for Manny, regardless.
Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. No matter what happens.
Loosen the jar. Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And that's it. Those are all the hires of college football this season.
If they're tied in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Comes down to a game management situation.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm circling. Those Miami fourth quarters.
Mm-hmm. 750 outraged fans going, oh no, it's starting again. It begins again.
Brian Kelly didn't try hard enough to get the Michigan job.
I didn't hear enough sock puppets. I didn't hear enough.
Right?
I heard Brian Kelly was a
dick. Brian Kelly's very handsome and good at football.
This is an authentic Southern voice, and I love Brian Kelly.
Has a Michigan accent now.
I love that Brian Kelly.
Oh, betcha.
There's so much shit we can't say right now.
It's fine. That's fine.
Yeah. But yes, despite his many backflips.
Don't worry, though.
Get out of Baton Rouge.
Don't worry. We're going to spend the next 2 years, every time Michigan loses a game, it's going to be like, you know, Brian Kelly would take that job were it offered to him.
Let's talk to my friend, Mr. Socko. What do you think? He's really good.
Did you notice how the LSU media members, this is canny because it got by some people, but the LSU media folks who ran with this ran so in the fashion of, I'm told that if Michigan were to pursue Brian Kelly, mm-hmm. he would take that job. Mm-hmm. That's the hardest working clause in a sentence.
If courted, Brian Kelly would consider a dalliance with the Michigan.
Uh-huh. It sounds like when Woj is trying to tip draft picks without tipping draft picks.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Which is adorable, but no. Yeah.
The lack of efforts.
No, y'all.
This is the escape from Baton Rouge, the Brian Kelly story.
Also, apologies to our several dear friends who genuinely believe that Brian Kelly wants to stay in Baton Rouge. He should, but he's not good enough for y'all. So do better.
You could be better. They'd be fine getting rid of him, I think.
A situation where he had to forcibly be kept in Baton Rouge is hilarious to me, right?
That's like kind of what we're headed into.
But that's very LSU in a way. Like,
yeah.
Like, there's not a situation. I don't know that you can name a single coach.
Box.
There's no coach you can name where I'd be like, yes, they're happy being there and LSU is happy having him there.
Yeah, they always hate their coach.
Yeah, it just doesn't work that way.
They can't stand their coach until someone else talks shit. But I don't even know if he's got that going for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, this is the rare LSU coach where you're like, that guy sucks. And LSU fans are like, yes, I agree.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen very often.
They're saying boo. It's B-E-A-U-X-O. Boo. I want to go back to Sherrone Moore for a second because I'm noticing something happening among Michigan alums that lets me know that even after a national title, Michigan people are going to remain Michigan people and overthink things in the most adorable way, which is I have seen like minute by minute turns among some of my Michigan peers in terms of, well, this guy left. I don't know. We might be in trouble. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're going to keep this guy. Okay, we're going to be all right. Oh, well, we lost this guy. I don't know. It might be all done. This might have been a mistake. Like, it's It's great because normally I'm used to the complete headstrong confidence of other less conscientious programs being like, we're going to be good forever. Mm-hmm. Kiss our ass.
Well, they had. So maybe that ultimately is why Harbaugh worked there, because he's the only Michigan person who's like, fuck yes, we're going to win.
Yeah,
without like, him, they all revert back to their mealy mouthedness.
Got the most. He's the only Jocko Willink in the bunch who's like, "We lost to TCU. Great, great.
Now we can try harder.
Yeah, now we can try harder. We didn't win. That means we can win next year."
Whiplash is a motivational film.
Yeah, I should work harder.
Not my tempo.
Yeah, that's it. Like, that may be why he worked, because he was the great band-aid of optimism on that.
Now they're just going to worry all the time.
Exactly.
But like LSU, that's their natural resting state. That's a better place to be. Yeah. And you get to worry with a national title now, which is better than worrying without one.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
This is why, ironically, I think Les Miles would have been fine at either place, because he's completely unaffected by the weather or other people's outside thoughts.
That is also why Les Miles was not okay at a lot.
That's true. That's also why it was not okay.
Oh, boy. Yeah. It's good. I'm glad that this is a sport where now any coach you talk about, you're like, well, what about this bad thing that they did?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, it is always like, anytime we mention a coach, you have to take a second, like, okay, what does the controversy section of the wiki page look like?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's really great. It feels really great all the time.
Why does this just say antics?
Shenanigans. That's what we want.
Oh, really? Oh, it was Mike Vanderjagt who said antics.
Like, yeah. Michigan fired a guy because he got drunk at a restaurant. Right? That's so tame. That's just paltry shit, man. Gary Moeller, I'm sorry, man. We owe you an apology. Who hasn't gotten blind, drunk, and insane at a restaurant?
I mean, what? Texas A&M fired a guy for starting a Substack.
Yeah, that's just good media savvy.
What's wrong with posting?
I'm sorry that he was ahead of the media curve, Texas A&M.
Let's just remind everybody here that Dennis Franchione lost the Texas A&M job in part because he published his own newsletter that was like, hey,
for subscribers only.
And, I'll tell you what's going on.
Here's what my team is bad at.
Dennis Franchione was not a skullduggerous side
hustler. Now we just call it
hustling.
On three and it's fine.
Now that's just hustle. Now that's just modern media. I'm sorry, Dennis Franchione. We owe your cyborg ass an apology.
Blog King Dennis Franchione.
Proto poster.
I call it Grubstack because my team stays hungry. This is Dennis Franchione, who also had an entire motivational thing where, like, he had a SWAT team attack his team in the locker room.
Oh, my God.
To simulate.
Hey, that's a good segue.
It's a good, yes.
Can you podcast business us now, please?
Podcast business. Podcast business. What's a business?
Woo.
Podcast business. It's a business. And we're talking about God. We're going to talk about God and books and stuff and stuff and God and books and stuff off.
Ultimately unknowable, just like the podcast business song.
Can I do a lightning round? I have several things.
Please.
Hit it.
I'll go as quick
also
as
like
I can.
God. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. One, if you're coming to our sold-out Atlanta event on February 16th, note it is at the Monday Night Garage. Be sure the place you're going is called the Monday Night Garage. That is the word I will keep emphasizing. Someone will mess this up, and we will hope they make it there.
Someone will show up on Monday night also.
Why don't I can volunteer. If you want me, I'll go to the other location.
This is not the garage. Go to the garage.
Yep.
Doors at 6, show at 7, technology willing, get there at 6. We're not going to wait on you to filter in because of Atlanta traffic. There's bars all around at the compound you can get to, so you can make sure you are able to line up within the 6 o'clock hour. 2, the religion disaster story submission link is in the comments of my latest Substack post. I tried to email it directly, but technology happened. 3, next book of
Fred Shoney!
You know who you need.
So, let's see, where was I?
Sorry.
Franchione again. Next book event to announce, Big Ten Mission Trip. I'll be in Madison, Wisconsin on North Street Tap Room on Leap Day with Matt Brown of Extra Points and former NAIA wide receiver Mason Meninga of Really Good Religion and Music Podcasts. It's free, like heaven, but capacity's limited, unlike heaven. Four, we have just over 2 weeks left to go in the Books Trevor Project fundraiser. That number, once again, $39,000 already donated, plus however much we'll add, is a really fucking great number and deserves to be talked about by lots of writers and podcasters who talk about anything having to do with any of this. Yes, you, whoever you are. And we want number bigger because book's really fucking good and it's doing good things. So tell your friends and tell writers and podcasters that they should talk about it. And if you are a person who's read it and enjoyed it, good places to post about it include relevant subreddits, Facebook groups, Instagram, and TikTok. There should be lots of posts on TikTok about it. I don't know how to do that. So I need someone else to do that for me. That's the end of my podcast business.
Subscribe to Channel 6.
Subscribe to Channel 6, where coming up this week, we're going to have somebody wanted us to write about Reacher. I'm writing about Reacher because Reacher's just...
Somebody asked for, to be clear, a sincere review of Reacher. And we're trying.
I'm trying. It's very easy because everything about Reacher is
aching. They're asking us to overthink it.
Wasn't it Jeff Schwartz who assigned that to you?
Yes,
Jeff Schwartz. Jeff Schwartz, former offensive lineman, who also actually I shouldn't say former because once an offensive lineman, forever an offensive lineman. Jeff Schwartz, who I found out today has the Orlando Pace highlight reel on his phone. I just imagine Jeff waking up at like 6:30 and his wife is still asleep and he's got his phone up on his chest, right? And he's looking at it like all snug in the bed and all cozy. And he's like, he's making little noises along with it. So Jeff, this one's going to be for you. It's a post for the big boys. It's a post for all Reacher fans and those who want to understand the miracle of Reacher, as well as a couple of other things we got cooking on Channel 6.
Minimalist hero, Jack Reacher.
Yes.
I also had an intrusive thought over the weekend that I could really only banish by sharing it with everyone. And I will do that now. Brack Reacher.
Hey, everybody.
Just Brack punching through a car windshield.
Just his head. Hey. Thought you were getting away, you turkey.
I need a toothbrush.
Nobody messes with the special investigators.
You're way too good at a Brack voice.
There's a reason.
There's a reason.
Comes from the heart.
Oh, boy. All right, I think that's all the business. I don't have any business. I'm just over here.
Just over here.
Just a lot.
Ren, you are a business.
Ryan Annie is.
I'm not a businessman. I'm a sad old dad.
I'm a sad old businessman.
I'm not a businessman. I'm a man business.
That doesn't mean I can't be the saddest, though.
Okay.
Folks, subscribe to Ryan.
Yeah, sure.
Subscribe to Ryan's Texas A&M newsletter on Substack.com, co-written with ghostwriter Dennis Franchione. He's in there. He doesn't want to admit it. Valuable insights about the early 2000s Texas A&M football program. Dvorsky Lane, probably making a move to tailback.
Oh, shit.
Big boy in the backfield.
Did y'all know that Juan Perón's hands got stolen?
Go on.
Sure didn't.
Well, moving him down the wide receiver depth chart.
There is an entire Wikipedia page called Hands of Perón.
That's a wonderful title of a musical.
Because in 1987, after like 13 years after he died.
Why would you save this to try to convince Spencer it was a Broadway show?
Hands of Perón. You know what? It should be a Broadway show.
Don't forget. Too late now. Keep going.
13 years after his death, unknown burglars broke into his tomb and stole his hands and tried to ransom them to the government, but the ransom never got paid, and I don't think anybody knows where the hands are anymore.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Were the hands buried separately from him?
No.
No.
They used an electric saw to dismember his corpse.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's always some crazy shit happening around the burials and or funerals of South American politicians of note. Like there was an all out like brawl at Pinochet's.
Speaking of which, how's our boy Bolsonaro?
Oh,
I feel like I haven't seen him get hospitalized in weeks. Did he quit?
He's trying to get back. He's trying to get back to his favorite place.
What if Bolsonaro is a hero who is trying to absorb all of the COVID so that nobody else can have.
This is one of those shows that I really hope it's somebody's first, because it's like, you guys are you red state commies are friends of Bolsonaro. No, we just love him because of how close he is to death all the time.
Yeah.
Nobody skates closer to that edge, man. Right? What, like,
he's our pharmacological X Games.
What, yep. Max Verstappen is to the limit, that's what Jair Bolsonaro is to the limits of his own body. He's always right on the edge. How much COVID can I put in one man?
He's like there's like the peak of human performance. He's like the valley.
Yeah. He's the death valley. He's 342 feet below the surface of most people's low.
Hey, though I walk.
Didn't he move to Florida? Did I make that up?
He did. Somebody saw him in a Pollo Tropical. They were like, the fuck is that Jared Bolsonaro getting chicken?
This is the only place weird enough for that guy.
Like a year earlier, it was like, I stand at the head of the powerful state apparatus now it's of like, Brazil.
Now it's like, I would like a medium drink.
And extra lime.
I got a coupon for that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, the kidnappers asked for $8 million for the hands of Juan Perón. And the government was just like, no.
Every sentence in that has this quiet poetry to it.
Yeah.
$8 million for the head.
If somebody ransoms like a dead relative's hands to you, you're not paying, right? You're like, God, they don't care.
What do I want with hands?
Hold on. Within reason. Like if you were like, we have your grandpa's hands and we want
$40. Y'all, if they steal my hands, first of all, the idea of pyramids as a human attraction remains repellent to me. If you wake me up after 2,000 years, I'm never going to let your descendants rest. But second of all, if somebody manages to get away with my hands after I'm dead and I don't catch them in some kind of like partnership with the Dark Kings, fair enough.
I guess my question is, so this happened in 19...
Scoreboard. You
know? This happened in 1987. So we're talking 37 years ago. Do you think they have kept the hands and tried to preserve them for all that? Like, do you think somebody has been like, well, time to move. I guess we have to decide if we're like moving the hands to our new apartment or not, or can we finally get rid of the hands? And do you think one guy is just like, you never know. You never know when these hands are going to be useful.
Or they forgot. Like they're like, you know, moving like toaster oven books.
You know, when we were young, we were told to hang on to like our baseball cards because they were going to raise in value. Mm-hmm. So we all did, and therefore they didn't. But the two things we turns out we should have kept were Pokemon cards and other people's hands.
Do any of your parents, did they keep your baby teeth?
What? Oh, have you seen those little boxes at Hallmark that they make just for those? I saw one time that was shaped like a purple octopus.
Some people do. They keep their. I don't think it's that popular anymore. But some people,
I know people whose parents
age.
Did. Mine did not.
Yes.
Huh. I like so, that. This is my favorite generational dynamic, which is, hey, we do a thing. And the next generation's like, yeah, that's gross. We're done with that.
Did they make a necklace totally of it or something?
So no, they just keep it in a box.
But if they make a necklace, it'll look like you defeated a lot of very tiny people.
I mean, mm-hmm. there is
I wear them on a necklace around my neck. Just wear them. Just fought all of them in combat.
Tiny little ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, that's it.
It's so badass.
Walk around talking like Jesse Ventura. Just like, I killed so many second graders.
Philip Rivers has like whole armor.
Made yeah. Plate mail. Jim Harbaugh next time going, you think of what I was thinking? Tooth fest. Great idea, Phil. Who got it better than us?
Made a lot of teeth generators just like me.
Wow, bam. Can eat a lot of steak with all those teeth.
It's so cool. First I fuck my wife, and then there's teeth everywhere.